Thank you. I'm just going to give you an idea about the Egyptian market quickly. In Egypt is a feed grain growing market, and this is because Egypt has a large population. You wouldn't believe it. In 1981, we were 40 million people. Now we are 80 million people. And Egypt, and this large population grows at almost 2.1% every year, which means that we have about 1.8 million new mouths to feed every year. And this feed would be animal protein sources, chicken, fish, you name it. Egypt, per capita income in Egypt actually increased from $650 to $2,500 in the past few years. And that drives the demand for animal protein sources in Egypt. Egypt now, the market has really grew in the past few years from 1.2 million metric tons, which means about 5 billion bushels to 12 billion, 280 million bushels in the last few years. So Egypt now occupies the fifth largest market of corn for the U.S. However, last year, every year we come with some good news. This year there is some good news, and also there is some bad news. The good news is that Egypt imports of corn increased from 4.1 million metric tons to 4.8 million metric tons last year. However, the bad news is that U.S. market share went down dramatically, to some extent, not dramatically. Let's see. In 2006, we imported 4 million metric tons of corn. In 2009, we imported 4.8 million metric tons of corn. We usually have 90%, 80 to 85 to 90% U.S. market share. In 2007, this market share dropped a little bit, not much. But in 2009, it dropped to 50%. And who captured that? In the past, we used to have Argentina about 18 to 20% market share. But last year, another player appeared in the show. This is Ukraine. Ukraine used to get 2 to 4%, and Russia 0.1, 0.2%. However, last year, Ukraine jumped to 18%. 18% of the market share, and Russia 10%. And the others, this is Brazil, Romania, Hungary, etc., on 2%. So they captured with Argentina 50% of the Egyptian market for grains. Next, please. And now, in the past, sorry, could we go back? In the past, we have two to three competitors. Now we have 10 players in the market. 10 players in the market now. Right, next. What could we do? Before the advent of Russia and Ukraine, the U.S. had a freight advantage, and they have the advantage of being able to combine shipments. In other words, if a shipment is coming to Egypt of Panamax of 60,000 metric tons, it would be, say, 40,000 metric tons of corn, 15,000 metric tons of soybean, some corn gluten meal, some corn gluten feed, some DDGS. So actually, this value-added products in the U.S. pushes the shipments to go towards the U.S. in addition to the advantage of freight cost over Argentina. However, with the advent of the Black Sea, Ukraine, and Russia, the distance is too short. Not only the distance, which means freight cost is so low, but also, in addition to that, you could go to these markets and fetch 5,000 metric tons shipment, 2,000 metric tons shipment, and you could afford to pay the money. So it's easy for traders, medium-sized traders, to go there and fetch something from those markets. How could we overcome, or how could we do something about this? We actually established three grain inspection labs in Egypt, according to FGIS, and we actually intended to level the play field or the playground for everybody. So when we talk about standards for for aflatoxins, and we say that Egypt should not receive any grains with more than 20 parts per billion, we are applying this for everybody. We built three grain inspection labs in Egypt, And by doing this, we manage actually to harmonize the standards of grain in Egypt with those of the U.S. Having done that, see, in the past few years, we rejected 300,000 metric tons of poor quality corn, 12 million bushels of corn of poor quality have been rejected in the past few years. Last year by itself, we rejected 3.24 million bushels of corn. From where? From Ukraine, 2.64, and from Brazil, 0.6, totaling 3.25 million bushels last year because of poor quality. Now, this is the first card we played with. Is the standardization and harmonizing of the specification. The second card we played with is to promote U.S. advantage, promote corn co-products in the Egyptian market. So if you look to the corn imports grew from 4 to 4.8 million metric tons, DDGS 6,000 metric tons, 32,000 metric tons in 07, 50,000 metric tons, 09, 83 actually, 1,000 metric tons of DDGS have been exported from the States to Egypt because you cannot source these products from other markets. Corn gluten meal, we introduced it a few years ago. And in 06, 70,000, in 09, in 07, 90,000, in 08, 97,000, and 2,916,000 metric tons. So corn gluten feed 35, was zero corn gluten feed to us in Egyptian market in 06, 35,000 metric tons, 50, but dropped this year to 30,000 metric tons. If you translate all these value-added products into corn equivalent to see how they affect the U.S. market share, so we did that with DDGS, 6, 32, etc., 171,000 metric tons. What is the corn equivalent for that? 240,000 metric tons. Corn gluten meal, 370,000 metric tons. What is the equivalent of that? 1.68 million metric tons of corn. Corn gluten feed, 120. It will be 144. High oil corn, 170,000 metric tons. It's 195,000 metric tons of corn. The total for corn equivalent would be 2.3 million metric tons. Egypt imported throughout this period 17 million metric tons of corn from all markets, 12 from the U.S., market share 73%. If you add the 2.3 million metric tons to this, it comes to 15.1. So actually, you managed to increase U.S. market share from 73% to 86% over the past 4 years together. This is quite an achievement, quite a way to improve the U.S. market share. And actually, in the future, we are working now to develop tailored programs for high oil corn. Egypt used to import high oil corn up to 100,000 metric tons. High oil corn is a wonderful tool for the small farmers, for the small broiler farmers or poultry farmers. Why is that? Because each grain of high oil corn is a tin of oil and protected with vitamin E as an antioxidant. So for the small farmer who have no equipment to add fat, high oil corn is a simple tool for him just to get the corn, grind it, include it in the ration, and you're done. So this company, the Kalea Poultry Company, used to import rich 100,000 metric tons of high oil corn, and they're still trying to fetch high oil corn from the U.S. So this guy, we arranged it for him to travel to the States and meet with the high oil corn producers and have something like a draft letter to have a contract in the future to produce up to 100,000 metric tons of high oil corn for this man, and he's ready to pay $35 as a premium per ton. Actually, I would thank Alvaro, who played a very important role with Chris to get that initial letter done. Also, we initiate new activities to introduce sorghum to Egypt market. And the main goal is to increase U.S. market share. Sorghum has a nutritive value, has a good nutritive value. Even the sorghum people won't like to say that sorghum is almost similar nutritive value to corn. Sorghum has the advantage of being tannin-free, U.S. sorghum. It has 11 to 12% protein, so it has an advantage. And it has a price advantage as well. So if we introduce into Egypt, we increase U.S. market share. What I did not last by, but not least, what I did not include in this slide is that we managed to keep feed wheat out of Egypt market for over 15, 20 years. Because all my argument is, when somebody wants to import feed wheat, I warn the minister that this feed will be wheat, will be rechanneled to human food after. So this is my argument to stop feed wheat not coming to Egypt. Otherwise, U.S. market share would have dropped more than 50%. This is some of our chickens that have consumed the DGS, and our fish farms also with FFA team consumed, our tilapia consumed the DGS. Last, please. And this, with that said, I thank you, and see my buffalo, if you could find them.
Thank you. Thank you.